Hey, Christy Rutherford here. If you want to awaken to your infinite greatness, defeat the imposter syndrome, and figure out which friends are holding you hostage to a life that you no longer desire, get my recently released book, Trauma Default, at traumadefault.com, and your life will never be the same for the best.
Call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I know you miss me because I miss you too. All right. We have an extraordinary show, but before we get into this, you know where you can reach me, right? You can go to BennyRandall.com or you can join me at BennyOnDemand.com. I'm always there in case you want to be in our private community. Make sure you download the app on iPhone or your Android in the App Store. It's absolutely free. We got some extraordinary shows with some extraordinary people, and that's why we do what we do. Okay? It's not a game, it's a lifestyle. You better believe somebody. Tonight's extraordinary entrepreneur is Christy Rutherford. Her brand new book, In Trauma is Trauma Default, you will learn how to In Trauma Default, you will learn how unhealed childhood trauma and incidents from your past stops you from moving forward to the next level of your future. You will also learn how to find your purpose and step into your destiny. The purpose of this book is to connect you with your higher self so you can answer your spiritual calling and get busy doing the work you will call to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to the one, the only, Christy Rutherford. Christy, how are you doing today?
Turn me up in the microphone.
See, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why you caught her on a high note, because every time we have her on the show, we have to mute her while we do our intro because she don't know how to be quiet while the person does the intro. All right. So if it ain't one thing, it's another. So I just wanted to put that out there for transparency. Christy, how are you doing today? Welcome to the Benny Randall Show.
Thank you, Mr. Randall. Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me to talk about my phenomenal new book.
I appreciate it. Trauma Default. Why the name and why now?
Why the name? So the name came to me in meditation. So what I do, I assist women with playing office politics and I help women get promoted. And so a lot of my clients get 30 and 40% promotions and raises within 3 months. And so what I do is I typically go back to what's stopping them from seeing how great they are, because a lot of people and a lot of leaders are walking around super successful, but also super miserable. Mm-hmm. And I learn how to connect the way that they see themselves from their unhealed childhood wounds is how they're carrying themselves. So you can be super successful and you can have the nice car and the house, but you don't feel like you have anything because your mom was a drug addict or your dad was an alcoholic. And so that's the work that I do. I just didn't have a name for it. I didn't have a simple way to explain what I did. And so through meditation earlier this summer, and you know, through all the crises and everything that's going on in the world, a lot of people through self-isolation are now sitting in the house and their skeletons are visiting them and they can't run anymore. So that's why Trauma Default. And then, and why now? Because it's time for people to awaken to their greatest selves and heal the very same thing that they use to get them off the ground to achieve high success.
So let me get this right then. So Trauma Default is people that have had success, right? But yet they are lacking that inner success. Am I getting this right?
Well, I think about the writer for This Is Us, Jazz Waters. Jazz Waters committed suicide in June. Mm-hmm. And externally, she's super successful. Kay Spade committed suicide last year or a year before that. Kay right. Spade was super successful. So what did they have within them that didn't allow them to rest regardless of how much money and success that they had? And so what I've learned through talking to a lot of successful people, a lot of successful people have something that drives them to achieve success. So if you think about the way that a space shuttle works, mm-hmm. right? So the space shuttle, and I have this in a book, I have the illustration. So the space shuttle has the rockets, and then it has the external fuel tank. So it uses immense amounts of fuel to be able to create the pressure to get it off the ground. But then after it's off the ground, boom, it drops those two rockets. And then as it further ascends higher up, it drops the external fuel tank because it doesn't need those things anymore because it's off the ground. And then it goes into outer space with just a little bit of energy. And so a lot of times when people in their careers, they stall out, it's because they're still carrying the jets and the external fuel tank, and they're too heavy with their baggage and their inner stuff in order to get to the next level. And so once we start to get clear on, and a lot of people are walking around, Mr. Randall, they have no idea that this is the stuff that's stopping them from getting them off the ground. Mm. But once we identify that and they let it go, then they catapult to the next level.
Let me ask you this then. What I'm getting from this is that there's a lot of things that happen in our childhood that will affect our adulthood. And there are a lot of things that in that childhood that some people may suppress to be able to go and become successful, but they never really got over it. Is that the understanding I'm getting here?
So let me tell you a quick story. So I have a client, or I had a client a couple of years ago who, number one graduate from his engineering school, youngest principal in this company ever, graduated number one in high school. I mean, so he had all these accolades and he's super successful. And in his organization, he's a leader, but he was so thirsty for the approval of the people that work for him or that he worked for. So he's always looking for external praise. And he's like, how did I do? And at a certain point in leadership, people aren't going to be gassing you up. You got to gas yourself up. So they're like, what is wrong with this dude? So he was not confident. So what we learned was he was Somalian. And when his country went to war, he lived in a middle-class family growing up. His dad owned a gas station. The country went to war, and they ended up being refugees when he was 10, 8 or 10. And so they lived in a tent for 2 years off the goodwill of people, you know, whether or not they were going to eat and where they were going to sleep. So in his mind, even as a successful adult, even with money, his job, he had a great job, his wife had a good job, but he thought when people didn't approve of him in those meetings that they didn't like him and he would get fired and he would move back to a tent. So his whole psyche would fall apart if they didn't like him. So he was all like, was I good? So he had no idea that experience kept haunting him. And he kept saying, I want to rise and I want to be seen. And I'm like, dude, you're like 6'3". You're the biggest man in the room. And so what I learned was he kept seeing himself from his 8-year-old self. So the 8-year-old self needs to get taller. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. To project who he is. So he's over 6 feet tall, still living from the mind of the wounded child.
That's very powerful. So let me go back here. Let me ask, how did you get the understanding to be able to help people? Was there something traumatic in your own childhood that gave you an understanding of what people are going through right now?
I think I was a middle kid. So one, middle kids are always neglected. Two, how do I say this? Everything, the trauma that you have as a kid, it doesn't have to be like physical abuse or emotional abuse. It can be whatever perspective that you have of, you know, I have like abandonment issues, right? And I had no idea because my mom worked a lot when we were younger and we were always babysat by my cousins. That's one. Two, as a middle kid, because I come from a family of like a lot of people, whenever they had birthday parties, they would either invite the oldest kid, which is my sister, or they would invite the youngest kid, which is my brother, and I would never get invited. So I always felt like I was left out. And so growing up, you know, having, you know, abandonment things that are going on, I looked at my childhood from the perspective of the wounded child and not from the perspective of the rational adult. And whenever I burned out from my career, which we've talked about already, and I had an opportunity to start to observe like how my life really went, was it really as bad as I thought it was? Mm-hmm. Well, my mom was a workaholic because she was 22 with three kids. And we never went hungry. We always had clothes. We always had toys for Christmas. So can I really now as an adult say my mom wasn't around as much as I wanted her to be if we didn't suffer? She was always at work to provide. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So that's
absolutely
the thing about trauma default is a lot of people are walking around with this story and this script in their head that they're telling themselves, and it's absolutely not true.
So let's talk about one of your clients, the one that was divorced her husband after 13 years, but was guilty by family and friends to remain in the union regardless of how miserable she was. Tell me a little bit about that client.
So she's Catholic. And she said her family's like really Catholic. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. That was going to be my next question. What does that mean, really Catholic? Like, is there a middle Catholic class or a little bit of Catholic or what? Talk to me.
Well, I think it's just people who follow the doctrine. And so I don't want to insult anybody in their religion, but they follow the doctrine. And so she had sex with a guy. She was a waitress. He was a busboy. She had sex with him. And so now they have to get married because she's guilted of, I had sex with somebody, I have to marry him. Mm-hmm. And so the thing about their marriage after 15 years, she was successful, miserable. I mean, miserable. And she was successful because she was a waitress while she was working on her profession. And he was a busboy by profession. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually a busboy, you know, with ambition. Her job as a waitress was just on the way to her next level. So once we got clear on why it didn't work, they were never equally yoked, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so regardless of what she did, she was always going to carry him, and she can't change him because that's who he was. And once you can see, you know, there's a quote that says, one, I mean, you know, the truth sets you free, but we're not looking at the truth. We're looking at the truth through the lenses of our childhood wounds. And so this is for people who don't know me and for people who have never talked to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that I'm talking about right now will seem like completely right or left field for them. But if you know me, this is all I talk about. But it is taking some time to be able to step into and have the conversations that I really like to have and that I really want to have. My clients know this about me because this is how we get the results.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just time for me to step on, you know, to just a different, I would say just an expansive platform and be able to have the conversations that are now, I think now people are open and willing to be able to listen to. You got to get over the same thing as I talked about earlier. Successful people have learned how to channel their pain into fuel to get themselves off the ground, like a space shuttle.
Absolutely. I've definitely heard that. Even a lot of comedians say they make a lot of jokes about their family so they can release that pain. That's their way of actually, you know, allowing it to flow out and their perspective of it is that if, you know, if they can let it go and it can make somebody smile, then they've done something for themselves and they've done for those who are listening. So I find that very intriguing. One thing I like about you go ahead.
Well, but it's one thing, Mr. Randall. It's one thing to tell the story from a perspective of pain. Uh-huh. You're still in pain, and you're telling a story in pain to make other people feel good. But it's another thing to understand that you now need to appreciate the pain, because without the pain, you wouldn't have channeled yourself to get off the ground. Like, you needed that in order to be the successful comedian. Mm-hmm. So now let the pain go, and now create appreciation for the pain, because without it, you wouldn't be who you are.
Mm. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
You gotta forgive the past, because it made you who you are without the pain. You would be who you are today.
It's not just enough to share it, but you have to embrace the process and the journey of how you gotten there. Is that what you're saying?
You have to understand. So I think about, like, being the black sheep of my family, being the weirdo, being the
you were weird. Go ahead.
Please, I'm a unicorn rider. but that's just in my mind. So being one of the first people who went to college in my family, I couldn't come home. Like, I couldn't quit, because if I come home, there are razor blades and there are steaks and there are knives and, you know, people talking about me in my mind. So I had to make it. That's why I joined the military. So I wouldn't go home, because I couldn't fail. And a lot of times when people in my family left and, you know, they were criticized or whatever, and they quit and they came back home, they were welcomed home with open arms. I didn't have any bosom to embrace me. You know what I mean? So I can't come home. I got to do whatever it takes to be successful, because if I come home, it's going to be H-E-L-L to pay, and I don't want to do that.
Why was it, Christy, why was it different for you?
It was different for me, and everything, like, is in my mind. So I was I was just the one that was different.
Okay. I'm trying to understand why it affected you in that way. And the reason why I say that is because what I'm hearing when I go through the book, especially when you said you are two victims, you know, inside the book. What I'm hearing is that, one, you have to acknowledge some of the things that you've went through. You have to understand some of the things that you went through to get where you're at now. That's what I heard you say earlier. So I'm wondering, do most people at some point in their life go through some type of trauma that either makes them or breaks them?
I think you can only run from your skeletons for so long, and at a certain point, they're going to catch up with you. Mm-hmm. So even the choices that you make in your spouse. You have two types of people. You have the, if your dad was abusive and they have several kids in the house, one of the sons are going to say, I don't want to be like my dad. So he's going to be very, very gentle, but anybody that he talks to. But then the second son is say, well, my dad was abusive, so that's why I'm abusive. So it's a choice of which road you're going to take. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And I think that goes back to what I was just asking. And I don't know why we wasn't clicking here. But for instance, let me give my own example of what that was to me. When I was a child, my dad never went to my events. My dad never said, I love you. All right. So my dad was a heavy drinker. Right. But I made the decision on my own that, one, because I didn't like how it was when he would drink, then I was not going to drink. That was one decision I made as a child. Number two, I decided when I have kids, I'm going to always tell them I love them. And I do that today. Every time I come in the house, I tell him I love him. Every time I leave, I tell him I love him, because he never did those things. You understand? So I made the decision, which side I was going to go, because I believe this, you only got two sides. You're either going to go to the left, or you're going to go to the right, whichever one works for you. So me having that experience of him not doing the things that I wanted him to do, I do now for my kids. And I go the extra mile because I understand how I felt when I didn't have it available to me. Is that me understanding my personal trauma?
Yeah. And on the flip side, one, yes, it is. And on the flip side, there are going to be some people who will use that as a reason. My dad did tell me that he loved me. This is why I drink. Does that make sense? So they'll use it. So this is why this book, I'm not talking to unsuccessful people. I'm not your messenger.
I'm sorry. I don't think they were clear with that. What did you say, Chrissy? Can you repeat that again?
I'm not talking to people who have not achieved success. I'm not your messenger. And I mean, there are plenty of people who are out there, but I know my lane and I know my niche. I am talking to highly successful people who can't figure out why they feel like they're stuck and like they're going in circles, and why they are still in pain, regardless of how much Gucci, Chanel, Lexus, big houses that they have. What is that thing that is holding them back from actually feeling successful?
Very, very powerful.
And what's the loop that they're caught in that they can't seem to get out of that continues to show up in different areas of their life?
Very, very powerful. And just in case you're just joining us, the opinions expressed here are not those of Benny Randall or Bashani Radio. Those opinions are strictly that of the author of Trauma Default, okay? Just in case you joined us. You're listening to the You're listening to the Benny Randall Show, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, Chrissy Rutherford here. If you want to awaken to your infinite greatness, defeat the imposter syndrome, and figure out which friends are holding you hostage to a life that you no longer desire, get my recently released book, Trauma Default, at traumadefault.com, and your life will never be the same for the best.
Mommy, your daddy, and all your friends, and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
If you just joined us, we are speaking with the extraordinary entrepreneur Chrissy Rutherford and her new book, Trauma Default, an amazing, amazing book. Let us return back to this extraordinary story and this extraordinary book. Chrissy, I really thank you because I think why this is needed so much now, because so many successful people like myself, you know, have been spending a lot of time home since this COVID has happened. And it gives you a different perspective, you know, when you're out running and when you're traveling and when you're on stage and you're doing so many things and you're going from house to house, you don't pay attention to a lot of the little things that make you who you are. But what I've found is, being like, you know, my kids are not in school now. They're doing it from home. You know what I mean? And because, you know, my business has allowed me to do it from wherever I'm at, I've been able to have even more time with them, you know, and then understanding the type of father I am and then understanding why I do what I do. You know, it's given me a new insight, you know, of sometimes, as they used to say, you never slow down so you can smell the roses. And I think COVID has allowed us to do that. I wanna move into the part where you say you are two victims, right? And you said your spiritual problems that have manifested into your physical life and conditions have caused you to self-medicate. Healing from within will free you from what ails you the most. But your physical remedy, instead of medication, become your spiritual redeemer. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, a lot of people are self-medicating their souls to sleep. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point of awakening, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to drop it to my metaphysical part. This is why it took me a while to get this book off, and I appreciate you having this conversation with me, because this is what I really believe. Mm-hmm. I've never really said it out loud in public, but it's a little bit of Wayne Dyer, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Eckhart Tolle, Neville Goddard, Louise Hay, Abraham Hicks, is all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, coming straight out of the mouth of Christy Rutherford, which is a little bit gangsta and country with the Southern twang. But we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. Mm, and absolutely. So at a certain point of awakening, I think that, and Eckhart Tolle talked about it a lot, and actually Gary Zukav as well, you know, they talked about the awakening, a new earth of conscious beings, people who are now conscious and aware. You were so busy going around and around and around, you know, speaking and traveling and doing all these things and making money. You were not as present in your, you know, in your, with yourself. And I think not just you, but everybody's busy. So we're not as present. And Napoleon Hill said something so good. He said, if I had the courage to look in the mirror and see myself as I truly am, mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to look in the mirror when you're running. You're too busy to look. And now you're sitting in your house looking at the wall. Now you have to take inventory of your life and say, oh, my God. So you said smell the roses. Some people are smelling S-H-I-T because they didn't do the things that they needed to do to create the life that they wanted. Now what? Now let's change. Now choose to figure out what are the stories that you're telling that's keeping you where you are. Well, my dad was abusive. Okay, well, that was like 40 years ago. I mean, I'm just saying, if it's still a problem today, at what point are you going to let that go, or are you going to die dragging that baggage with you? Mm.
Christy, you are
and
so...
And are you drinking because you say, well, my mom was an alcoholic and she didn't love me. Okay, but why are you drinking a bottle of wine a night? And your mom has... I mean, it's when are you going to be willing to let go of the pain that you've been dragging around that's no longer serving you, that is destroying your present reality? So a lot of times people aren't living from their present reality. They're living from the lenses of their dirty past. So you can't even see the great God that you have in front of you right now because somebody told you back in the day that you would never be anybody. So you have a great man in your life who's taking care of you and he's nurturing you. But if your dad was not that guy, like you talked about your dad, you know, who drank and didn't say that he loved you. So this man could tell you that he loves you, but you can't see that he loves you because you're so busy playing the script of your dad not telling you and wanting it mm-hmm. that you can't even receive in your present life what you desire. It's right in front of you, but you can't even see it.
Mm, very powerful. And I want to move forward in this because you say I'm not talking to the broke people. All right. So I'm just repeating what you said in my own.
You said what you say. Successful.
Oh, okay. All right.
Successful.
What that means.
That's
broke.
Right. That's means right. broke.
I don't care what you say.
That's not my target market.
You said in the book, it said, it is your birthright to be rich. Most poverty starts in the mind long before it materializes in your physical and outer condition. You believe the lie that you were told in your childhood because you were born a woman, handicapped, a person of color, or whatever you choose to adopt as an excuse for your limitations. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yep. So it is our birthright to be rich. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. We were all born to solve a problem for our generation. But when whatever physical experience you chose as a spirit when you came here, the goal was one day you will awaken to yourself and remember that you are a spiritual being, not strength, right? And not, how do I say this? You're not limited based in the physical conditions that you were born in. So you think about some of the NFL players, right? And some of the NBA players, they came from the hood. People right beside them that came from the hood and will say, well, I can't, I'm going to be nobody, but some people made it out. It's just the people who chose to own their greatness and own who they are and say, I'm going to make it out, as opposed to using it as a reason for why you can't. So a lot of times I have some clients that, even though they've made it, even, I mean, they have the job and the house and the car and the this and the that, but they still hear somebody in their head telling them that they won't be anybody. So they're working themselves to death and they never really know that they've made it. And so once I get them to stop and like to look around at the abundance that they created, and then they say, oh, snap, I'm still running, I mean, a sprint. And I have never stopped to realize I got everything that I wanted. So a lot of times, Mr. Randall, people are so busy fighting against what people say that they can't have that they never take inventory of what they got. And typically the person that they're fighting that say what they couldn't have is somebody from their childhood, so they never stop working. And plenty of women and men, but plenty of women work themselves into an early grave, proving people wrong that are long gone. They have, and for the most part, people are completely unconscious of it. They have no idea that they're doing it.
You know what I like a lot about this book? One, I wish I had it when I was beginning in my search for who I was and when I was coming up to my success, because a lot of the things I know now are a lot of the things that you are talking about. And I know that you're right on point, because these are things I have experienced in my own life, you know, getting to my success level. And as I go from being a multimillionaire to becoming a billionaire, yes, I put that out there, billionaire Benny. In one part of your book, you talk about self-talk as one of the most destructive behaviors and habits you may have. There's an ongoing story in your head that reflects your reality or your greatest fears. A lot of emotions can be triggered by self-criticism and the voice in your head. And that was one of the biggest things I had to get over, because I believe I was the black sheep in my family, as you spoke about earlier. I believe I was the one that didn't have any gifts and was not special, you know, at that point in time. How can people that are listening and people that read this book, how can they conquer self-talk, that negative self-talk? Because I love how you said you gave people an option here. You say there's an ongoing story in your head that reflects your reality or your greatest fears. Talk about that.
Yeah, I remember when I heard Eckhart Tolle say, I'm not the voice in my head. Who am I then? The one who sees it. I said, wait, I'm not the only person with the voice in my head? That was like in 2009, because we don't talk about this stuff. We don't talk about, there is somebody running rampant in my head that is talking to me all the time. And this is before you meditate, and because, you know, and they have the, in cartoons, they have like the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. You actually have two voices, but because we're so busy and we're running around, we only hear the negative voice. But once you start to do the work, and I'll come back to that, but once you start to do the work and quiet your mind down, then you'll hear your inner being has been talking to you the whole time. But a lot of people don't know that you have this running script in the back of your head. So I had a client that I was working with, and actually this is one of the first things that I have my clients get clear on, because you can't get free until you know where you are. And they have no idea they're saying this stuff to themselves. And so it's about self-awareness. And so I had them meditate 5 minutes, three times a week. It doesn't take that much. Exercise and workout and find some quiet time. It's a couple other things that I have them work on. And one of my clients called me. She said, Chrissy, I had no idea. And this lady had a government job that she was afraid to leave because, you know, government jobs are secure. She hated it. And so she said that what she was saying to herself was, you are nobody. You stupid. You broke. You old. And you always going to be broke. And you never going to be anybody. She said, this is the stuff I've been saying to myself. I had no idea. She had no idea that that's the script until she stopped and started to observe and listen to herself, talk to herself. And so everybody's always worried about what other people say about them. I'm like, you need to be worried about what you're saying to yourself because nobody outside of you can hurt you. You're your greatest enemy. And the African proverb says, if there's no enemy within, then the enemy outside can do no harm. So people are unaware of the story that they're telling themselves. That is the most destructive pattern because whenever you get ready to do something, about who you think you are, you're going to fail. You're a loser. You'll never make it. They're going to talk about you. What's going to happen? You're going to look stupid. And so that voice stops a lot of people from even trying to step outside of their comfort zone and keep them where they are. And so is that voice? Was that voice your voice, or is that a seed that somebody planted in you? And a lot of times we can trace it all the way back, and it's something that somebody said to them a long time ago that became their words, but it was not their words. They let somebody speak a negative seed to them. And so if you think about a garden that's planted, you know, are you going to plant new seeds? Because once you start to get crystal clear on who you are. And I'll say this and I'll let you ask me another question, but James Allen says something in As a Man Thinketh. He said, if your mind could be likened to a garden, whether actively cultivated or neglected, it must and it will bring forth. So a lot of times we're neglecting our minds. And if you think about an abandoned lot in New York, how long does it take for that abandoned lot to have grass that grows through the sidewalk, weeds are everywhere? And when you have something that's not taken care of and is not well-maintained, people come throw stuff that don't matter on it. They park their cars on it. They have condom wrappers. They got Budweiser cans and bottles and broken. I mean, all kind of stuff is on a lot that's not taken care of. So if your mind could be likened to a garden, and if you're not guarding your thoughts, people are coming and parking their big problems on it. People are throwing the stuff on it that don't matter. They come and they dumping their problems on you because you're not tending to your garden. But if you think about that tulip field, I think in New Zealand where they get all those tulips from, or if you think about the tulips, I remember going to the Bellagio and they had like 3,000 tulips in the Bellagio. Like, how much work does it take to maintain a tulip garden?
Hold on, Chrissy, because you're so creative with your wordplay. It's just incredible. But we're getting down to the last few minutes, and I want to get this last question in here because you talk more than I do, and I think they should really buy the book and really dive into it. Yes, and you know, because you're giving a lot here, so that, you know, we need them to go actually get the book and really dive into it because there's so much that you can dive into it. But I want to ask you this last question because this affected me when I heard this, when I read these words. You say, you've been misdiagnosed. Bitterness is your medical condition. I was like, what?
Woo!
I was like, she just went there with her country self. She went there. She say, bitterness is your medical condition. Being bitter is when something has been marinating for a long time. You don't become bitter about something that happened yesterday. Bitter and resentment are long held upon stories and feelings that have stowed away in your body for years. Let's talk about bitterness is your medical condition. Ooh, you went in. I felt that right there. Ooh.
Yes, that was good.
That was good though. That was really good. That title alone is a whole nother book. Bitterness is your medical condition. I'm gonna steal that line right there. I'm gonna just tell people they be bitter. They just be walking about. I'm gonna be like, bitter is your medical condition.
I'm gonna trademark that. I'm gonna come after you. Be like this. I'm gonna need $20. You just use my line.
There you go. No problem. I got you. You on PayPal? How you want this? Cash App? We got this. It's nothing.
Oh, my $20.
It's so crazy.
You know, a lot of times people are, you know, diagnosed as depressed or bipolar or this, and really they're just angry. Bitterness is your medical condition. Autoimmune diseases. I had arthritis. I mean, I was almost in a wheelchair when I was 25 because I was being harassed by the guys in my job. I was 0.1% in my organization. Actually, probably less than that, maybe 20 or 30 black women officers out of 47,000 people. So I developed crippling arthritis. I had a handicap sign for 6 months. Rage and harassment. And I had headaches and my back hurt. And I was, I mean, if Rona would have came in 2012, I would have been gone. Like, I probably, wow. I had to put myself in a bubble. My immune system was so compromised from stress that I was in the emergency room every 2 weeks with flu-like symptoms. It was stress. Stress was killing me. Now, what happened? People kept telling me who I wouldn't be. And you'll never be anybody. You're not going to make it. And I'm already successful. But the challenge, Mr. Randall, is before I even came in the Coast Guard, I was fighting the naysayers. Mm. You know, people in college. You're not going to make it. All right, I'm going to fight y'all. People in high school, you're not going to make it to college. I'm going to fight you. Teachers when I was younger, you're not going to be anybody. You'll never make it. I remember one of my eighth grade teachers, you'll never be anybody. So before I even joined the military, before I even became successful, I was already accustomed to nearly working myself to death to prove you wrong. So that was a long string of things that have happened. That led to my near demise. I almost worked myself to death twice. And it was just ridiculous. Looking back on it, I'm like, that was so stupid crazy. So wow. A lot of people are walking around sick. A lot of people are walking around crippled. I was almost in a wheelchair. I had a handicap sign for 6 months. I was so bitter and I was so mad and I was so angry that it was eating me up from the inside out. Mm.
Wow, that's deep right there, and I'm gonna stop you right there because I think you don't give in too much, and I think people need to just go get the book.
We ain't even scratch the surface.
We scratch something, all right. So we just gonna go with that. So you could tell we scratched something, right? So Christy, what do you want people? In my last question, what do you want people to walk away with after they read this book?
I want people to really awaken to their greater selves and live in peace and live in joy and live in harmony. And a couple of quotes that I have in the book is, you know, you must be stronger than your desire to be comfortable and liked by your family and friends. So when you want to be free and you want to be happy, some of the people around you are not going to like that. Mm-hmm. And your desire to be healed has to be stronger than your desire to be liked by the very people who like you in bondage.
Mm, very, very powerful. Because I've often told people, Christy, very, very simple. If everybody likes you, you're probably not doing what you're really supposed to be doing. Because everybody shouldn't like you. You got to, you know, when you're doing what you're doing, you're gonna ruffle some feathers. You know, whether it's family, whether it's friends. I thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show. This book is extraordinary. For those that want to get this book, where can they find this book?
They can go to traumadefault.com.
Mm, I like it. Very simple. Traumadefault.com. Mm-hmm. Your final thoughts?
My final thoughts is for all the women who say that their bosses are intimidated by them and people in their office are intimidated by them and the 8 billion men in the world, or I can't seem to find the one because all the men are intimidated by me. Everybody's intimidated by me.
You got some issues for real.
Look, ladies, when you are at peace in your power, because you are powerful. I'm a powerful woman. And for me trying to distort and shrink and cower down to make people like me, it wasn't working.
and you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't.
But I did it. To be liked and to be accepted and to be appreciated. So now I'm walking around looking crazy with a distorted sense of self. Pow. Hey, this is Christy, 100%. 100 proof, straight, raw, and uncut. And I don't care if you like me. I will not do one thing to make somebody like me. Either you like me or you don't. I don't care.
There
so, ladies, I say all that to say is when you are at peace in your power, they will be at peace with your power. Mm. Because I'm at peace in my power and is not unpredictable and is not, it doesn't move, it's just straight power, a lot of people are comfortable with me. But a lot of the right people, and it's some people who aren't, but I don't care about them because, you know, either you like me or you don't. I'm just going to spend my time around people who appreciate me for who I am at 100 proof, as opposed to trying to make the 90% of people who don't like me like me. Mm. I'm just going to live a very narrow life with the 10% because I can be at peace and I can be in harmony and I can love myself and I can fully love other people instead of trying to make the 90% like me. I'm just going to go with the 10% or the 3%. It doesn't matter because the only person that matters is me and the man above on who likes me. I like me.
That's
a miracle.
That's all that really matters. And the world likes you, Bashani Radio. We like you. And I think all the right people like you. And that's what's important. All right. Christy, I appreciate you coming on. And if people want to learn more about you, where can they go?
You can go to my website, ChristyRutherford.com. I would love to connect with you there. All of my social media connections are there. Instagram, Christy.Rutherford. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, Christy Rutherford. And yeah, I really just want people to be free. And you have success. Now you have to let go of the pain. Because without the pain, you wouldn't be who you are. So traumadefault.com, ChristyRutherford.com. I would love to connect with you and talk about this. And we have our book launch is coming up November 17th, which is on the traumadefault.com site.
Mm. Thank you so much for being on the Beanie Randall Show. Ladies and
gentlemen.
Thanks,
Mr. Randall.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another edition of the Beanie Randall Show. And I want to ask you this question. What did you learn? I'm going to tell you what I got from this. Oftentimes, successful people like myself, we use that trauma that we've had to push us as our fuel, to push us to the top. But I think the understanding that Christy has given tonight is very simple. You have to have an understanding of why you went through it, and you got to be able to let it go. It's an extraordinary read. So if you haven't got your copy, make sure you go to traumadefault.com. All right? Tell them you heard it here on the Beanie Randall Show. Until next time, I hope that you achieve everything you want in your life. I'm your host, Beanie Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, a.k.a. Billionaire Benny. And until next time, I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night.
Many counted us out. They said we could not do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! In your face!
Hey, Christy Rutherford here. If you want to awaken to your infinite greatness, defeat the imposter syndrome, and figure out which friends are holding you hostage to a life that you no longer desire, get my recently released book, Trauma Default, at traumadefault.com, and your life will never be the same for the best.
100% black owned and operated. Bashani Radio app. They said it couldn't be done.
We did it anyway.
The hottest independent network in the world. Kaboom!